It's September, and the fall movie season is here. Coming soon to a screen near you, Clint Eastwood's Mystic River, Nicole Kidman's The Human Stain, based on the Philip Roth novel, and from John Grisham, Runaway Jury, with Dustin Hoffman and Gene Hackman. Morning Edition and Los Angeles Times film critic Kenneth Duran joins me now. Good morning.
Morning, Bob.
Why do movies have seasons?
Maybe they need them. I don't know. You know, it started probably with some reality. You know, in the summer, kids are out from school. They have money eating a hole in their pocket. So the studio said, let's have those kind of teenage-friendly films in the summer. And then in the fall, well, it's a serious time. It's back to school. The Oscars are coming up. And Hollywood feels that Oscar voters have notoriously short memories, so they put good films in the fall. But finally, it's become kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy. They put these films in different slots because that's what they've always done.
So is it better to open a movie in the summer or in the fall?
It depends the kind of movie you have. Though, you know, in all honesty, there's been counter-programming that's worked. DreamWorks opened Saving Private Ryan, a very somber movie, in the summer and did very, very well. Though they didn't win the Best Picture Oscar, so it might have hurt them on the back end. But it depends the kind of movie you have. If you have a serious movie, if you have a movie that you think adults will want to see, those few adults that are still going, the fall is the best time to open.
What, people take it more seriously? I mean, if you're a filmmaker and you open in the fall, that's a good thing for you because...
Absolutely. Yeah. It tells you that the studio thinks you have a valuable, important film. If they try and open you in January, which is one of the real graveyards, you know that no matter what they tell you, the studios think your film is a dog.
Now, why is it important to a studio?
Well, the studios want to maximize what they get. If they have a film that they think can get awards and Oscar nominations, which in turn will help revenue down the road, they want to put it in the season when they think that's more likely to happen.
In the summer, we had comic book heroes, and we have novels in the fall.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that come from books. Everything from, you know, Philip Roth's The Human Stain to Dr. Seuss's The Cat in the Hat. There's quite a wide range there. But, you know, we've got A Cold Mountain, we've got House of Sand and Fog. Even Under the Tuscan Sun, there's all kinds of things that come from books.
Cold Mountain, fabulous novel. The movie has to disappoint.
Well, you know, that's sometimes true. Sometimes the books that make the best movies sometimes tend to be the books that don't depend on language, books that depend on plot, books like Jaws, books like The Godfather. Those make terrific movies. But on the other hand, you know, Anthony Mangiello, who directed this, made a film from The English Patient, which is also a book that is very language-based in its success, and that film did pretty well. So possibly this will work.
But John Grisham has a better shot.
John Grisham, I think, has a better shot, absolutely. Because, you know, his plots, you know, move like freight trains. You see people, you know, I've sat next to people in airplanes, and they're just turning the pages, turning the pages, turning the pages. The plot really pulls you along, and that makes for a very good basis for a film.
Nicole Kidman in The Human Stain, the Philip Roth novel. Isn't she also in Cold Mountain?
She is. I mean, she's become really the kind of the thinking person's actress of choice. When directors have anything that's a little bit risky, that's a little bit edgy, that's a little bit more difficult, they want her in it. And she's actually interested in taking on these roles, so she appears in a lot of these kinds of films.
What are the small movies you think are worth looking for?
Well, there's some interesting small movies. Some of them have appeared in festivals already so that they're kind of known quantities. There was one that was in Sundance called The Station Agent, which is a very unlikely story. It's about a very unlikely friendship between a dwarf train fanatic, a Cuban hot dog vendor, and a woman whose marriage is coming apart. And, you know, I don't know how this sounds when you say it that way, but when you watch it on screen, it's just very delicately done. It's really, really about human interactions. It's funny. It's warm. It's just the kind of thing that you really hope for in a small film. And, you know, I'm really looking forward to seeing it again.
Got any more?
Well, you know, one of the oddest films I saw all year, which was really completely charming, was The Belleville Triplets, which is finally coming out, which we talked about from Cannes, about this French-Canadian animated cartoon about a kidnapped Tour de France bike rider and his indomitable grandmother. And,
oh, I can believe that one.
It is another unlikely one, but, you know, I mean, I guess what keeps me interested in this business is that the unlikeliest things turn out to be good. Just when you're fed up with everything blowing up and, you know, Fast and Furious Part 12, something unexpected, something really well done just arrives and you say, thank God, this is what I've been looking for.
Well, thank you.
Thanks, Bob.
Kenneth Duran is a film critic for Morning Edition and the Los Angeles Times. From NPR News, this is Morning Edition, produced by Jim Wallace and Barry Gordimer, directed by Christine Arrowsmith and Van Williamson, and edited by Doreen McAllister and Jeffrey Katz. Senior producers Audrey Wynn, Neva Grant, executive producer Ella McDonald. Morning Edition's theme music was written by B.J. Lederman and arranged by Jim Pugh. I'm Bob Edwards.